Second Epistle to Timothy and chapter 4. For I am already being poured out, and the time of my release has come. I have combated the good combat. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day, but not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Use diligence to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and is gone to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thyself, for he is serviceable to me for ministry. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left behind me in Troas at Carpathus bring when thou comest, and the books, especially the parchments. Hebrews, the second chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. For he has not subjected to angels the habitable world which is to come, of which we speak. But one has testified somewhere, saying, What is man that thou rememberest him, or son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him some little inferior to the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honour, and hast set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast subjected all things under his feet, for in subjecting all things to him, he has left nothing unsubject to him. But now, we see not yet all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who was made some little inferior to angels, on account of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, so that by the grace of God he should taste death for everything. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make perfect the leader of their salvation through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and those sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren, in the midst of the assembly will I sing thy praises, and again I will trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God has given me. And finally, in the second epistle of Peter, and verse 7, For the present heavens and the earth by his word are laid up in store, kept for fire unto a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But let not this one thing be hidden from you, beloved, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, and the elements burning with heat shall be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it shall be burnt up. All these things then, being to be dissolved, what ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements burning with heat shall melt. But according to his promise, we await for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, as ye wait for these things, be diligent to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. It will be apparent, beloved brethren, that I want to speak about the appearing of the Lord, the world to come, and the day of God. Not in any historical sense, or projecting the future as to what will take place, that's as assured as the morning dawn. His going forth is that way. But to have a practical effect upon our lives. This is what Paul is speaking about in writing to Timothy. He's bringing forward certain things that they might have an effect upon the lives of Timothy first and those who would believe through his word. So he's speaking of what was the conclusion of his life. Now there are many here that are at the end of their lives. But there are many, thank God for them, who are at the beginning of their lives. And this would have an effect upon us all. That we might live here in the light of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the rapture as we speak about it. That is a private matter. The world won't know anything at all about the rapture, when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with archangel's shout and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, the living, who remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be changed. What a wonderful prospect that is. That is the immediate prospect for the believer. It may be today. It's as near as that. Let us regulate our lives in the light of that. But the heart of any lover of the Lord would not be satisfied until his appearing. That here in this very scene where he has been rejected, he will be publicly acknowledged. He'll reign from the river to the ends of the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You know, as you walk down the streets of this world and see how the effect of the refusal of the glad tidings of our Lord Jesus Christ has brought about degradation and sin. Don't you feel that it is only right that God should bring about here in the scene where he has died and suffered and shed his blood those who will bow the knee in a public way and acknowledge. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, wherefore God has highly exalted him, granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that will be in the millennium as we speak, for 1,000 years, his public acknowledgement of his right to reign. The prophet says, overturn, overturn, until he come whose right it is. He has a right creatorially to reign, but he has a right redemptively to reign too. Oh, don't you long for that? Are you loving his appearing? Or are you just saying, delay it, Lord, for a little longer? Well, the Apostle Paul says, I've lived my life since I was converted on that road to Damascus. I've lived it in the light of the public appearing of Christ. He says, whether you think of a race or a combat, whatever you think of it, he says, I can leave it all to the righteous judge. And he, in that day, anybody here thinking of a reward? The world offers so much in the way of rewards. Young people are enticed into the world system by the suggestion that if they go in for these things wholeheartedly, they can pass exams, they can reach the very top. And what will they find? Vanity of vanity and pursuit of the wind. That's all it is. Why not have that world and the resurrection before you? But the appearing is something that the true heart longs for. And Paul says, well, it won't be for myself alone, but for all who love his appearing. Young brother, young sister, older brethren too, can have that reward before them. Not that you're thinking of the reward, you're thinking of the one who gives it. The Lord, the righteous judge. Do you feel that perhaps you're misunderstood? Many do, you know. They go through life with a chip on their shoulder and feel that even their local brethren don't understand them. Leave it all with the Lord, the righteous judge. He'll rightly appraise it. I think this involves the judgment seat of Christ. You know, that cup of water he gave in the name of Christ and thought nothing of it, you weren't thinking of yourself. He'll rightly appraise that. But that service, when you've got yourself before you, he'll write that down. He'll give a right assessment of it. Leave it all. I think a lot of our troubles would be finished if we left everything with the Lord, the righteous judge. Now, in saying that, I'm not speaking about the truth. You have to stand for the truth. Here it speaks of the results of those who are looking for the appearing. He says, use diligence to come to me before winter. It's like the dying general disposing of his forces in view of the time. He said, you know, in Acts 20, he says, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. And here, he's arranging things in view. He's got the Lord's mind as to what would be needed. Certain persons had not kept with him, but there was one faithful friend who had stood by him. Friend sticketh closer than a brother. This is Luke, the beloved physician. Any Lukes amongst us? Those who were care with genuine feeling how the saints get on. It's what a true physician does. You say that was said to Timothy, but I think it could be said of Luke too, that he was caring for the saints, and he no doubt was looking forward to the appearing. But he says also, as to Titus, to Dalmatia, and Demas, forsaken me, having loved present world. Oh, are you going to put things in their proper perspective? Are you going to go in for this present world, which after all will end in death? Either your death or the Lord coming for us. Why not see? Take a sober inspection of the way your life's going, what you're putting your energies into, and see where the Lord would have you put those energies under the hand of the Spirit. He speaks also of bringing the, he says, the cloak I left behind me in Troas, at Carpus's bring, when thou comest. I don't think when he was coming, you know, that Timothy tried on the cloak. He would know his own measure. And that is something that I think we need all to realize, that our measure is divinely known. And find out, we're told in Romans, to think so as to be wise, not to be high-minded, thinking of ourselves more than we should, but rather thinking of others as more excellent than ourselves. I think Timothy was like that. Paul knew he could trust him to bring the cloak, and it would be in perfect condition when he got it. And he says, bring the books. Well, there's been a lot that has been written
ministered and printed, and we need to value it. Paul valued it. He says, you bring the books. And then he says, you bring the parchments too. What are you doing about the parchments? What about the current ministry? Very necessary to be listening and hearing and reading and imbibing the present truth, as Peter speaks of it. And the present truth is in accord with what has gone before, because it's the truth as it is in Jesus. Think of the, we speak about prophecy, you know, but the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. John says that twice in Revelation, in a very dark background. Why don't we listen and be formed by Scripture? If we're occupied with Christ, I find it the most testing sort of ministry. To have Christ presented as the divine standard, and then you have to say, well, how do I measure up to that? How do I stand in relation to what he presented of this glorious one? And I think as we have the appearing before us, we then will become like him and loving his appearing and rightly representing him here. Among whom ye shine as lights amidst a crooked and perverted generation. No use bemoaning the fact that men are getting worse and worse. Scripture says it, and you know it is true. But you're left here for a purpose, for the service of God, and also as a testimony to our Lord amidst a crooked and perverted generation. But now in Hebrews, the writer is speaking about the world to come. How much do you speak about the world to come? Is it amongst the conversation that we were speaking of this afternoon? Or are you concerned more with things of this present age? This was a well-known term amongst the Jewish believers. The present age and that to come. Here it's put, the world to come. Has that a place in your thoughts? Have you thought of the present time as a time of training? We spend a lot of time when we're young, and rightly so, to fit ourselves for this present time. It's no use saying, well, I'll be able to get a job, whether I take any notice of the lessons or not. You've got to be trained. And so it is that the present time is a training time for the world to come. You're being fitted at the present time. You'll be no different in the world to come than you are morally now. So why not spend your time, your energies, and fit in now in what is true of the world to come? I think if we look at Matthew's gospel as to the kingdom of the heavens, we'll find what the world to come is like. It's composed of persons who are regulated in regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful king, the one who's going to reign, the one whose absolute will be known. As we were saying this afternoon, he'll shepherd the nations with a rod of iron. He'll put down everything. In subjection will be the strange thing. Now it's the normal thing. Is it normal with you? The word comes. How do you receive it? With a subject spirit? Or resenting it? Or are you like those who will have part in the world to come? It'll be a wonderful time. A very simple at-homeness in the world to come. Everyone under his vine and fig tree. Oh, you say that's Israel. Well, yes, that will be Israel. Where will you be? Do you know what it is to be under your vine and fig tree? The vine is having Christ before you. You remember? The butler, he had a dream, didn't he? The baker had a dream, and it was full of himself. All that my and I was about. But when it came to the butler, he says, a vine was before me. Have you got a vine before you? Have you got Christ before you? The world to come will be Christ everything and in all. It'll be Christ, Christ. So you might as well get used to it now. Because then it will be only Christ. Christ personally and Christ in the saints. Why not avail yourself of the present training time and find your joy and satisfaction? I think that is what is involved in the vine. The fig tree, of course, is the fellowship of the saints. You see, we're not going to be isolated. Some persons, even in fellowship, they isolate themselves. They don't live their life in relation to other believers. You might be circumstantially isolated from the brethren, but you're not isolated in the spirit. You're involved in what is proceeding. It's the sweetness of the fellowship of God's Son. Are you valuing it at the present time? Are you enjoying it? Or are you there in view of the time when you can kick over the traces and go off? Oh, why not close with God's wonderful offer to bring you into the greatest enjoyment, whereby the blessing of God flows down and is enjoyed amongst his people. The world to come of which we speak. What is the Son and the centre of the world to come? It's Christ. He says we don't see him yet, with all things subject to him, but we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. Oh, what a thing it is. But he goes on to speak of the way that he tasted death for everything. Have you ever thought what death was to Jesus? J.N.D. said death was death to him indeed. Nobody has tasted death for everything, the same as Jesus did. Doesn't it affect your heart? He tasted death for you. Why not live for him? Oh, the one who has died for us. Goes on to speak about the greatest privilege that could be given to man. In the midst of the assembly will I sing thy praises. I think this is all an anticipation of the world to come, as it will be enjoyed by believers. Of course, the fullness of it will be in eternity itself. The song now begun on earth is going to reverberate throughout eternity. There isn't any doubt about that. But then he says, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Think of him coming into the midst, you might say, and finding those are of his own order. Those whom God has given him. Oh, that we might enjoy it more. I think this will be one of the features of the world to come. We won't be here upon the earth. Oh, the triumph of it. You know, people speak about the trumpet shall sound. That's at the resurrection, the first resurrection. But think of how the trumpet will sound when Christ is received in Jerusalem. Think of what's happening in the Middle East and the way that things are being centered there. Oh, the nations say a constant source of trouble. Yes, but the nations will have to come round. Think of all those Arab nations, so full of their own pride and misusing the material wealth that God has given them. But they'll have to come up to Jerusalem, or there'll be no blessing. They won't be able to rely on their oil in that day. They will have to make peace and come up. Of course, before that, there'll be the man of sin. He'll say, I've got the solution. He's waiting just for the moment to come in. And like Absalom, you tell me all your troubles and I'll fix it. This is what is waiting. It's just at the door, you might say. But the time when he comes whose right it is to reign, what a beneficent time that will be. There's just the suggestion that sin is still liable to affect, because men will be in flesh and blood conditions. It says a sinner, being 100 years old, shall be cut off. But that's a strange thing. Well, judgment is God's strange word. Now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You say, oh, that's the gospel. No, it's the present time. There's a time when you can, if never before, come into the enjoyment of the world to come. And you'll find that it makes a difference to your whole life. Now in Peter. This is the end of the millennium. Speaks it here of the day of the Lord, when this very earth that has been ravaged by sin and has known 1,000 years of glorious administration will have served its purpose. And as the writer of the Hebrews says, it will be rolled up. But here Peter tells us why it is going to be dispensed with. He speaks first of all about the judgment that came in by water in the time of Noah, and the way that the Lord will deal with all that has raised itself up against him. And the elements. You know, men are very concerned about the elements. They break things down to the atom. But God's going to dispose with all that. I think it should make us more concerned with what is unseen and eternal in the heavens. Not to be occupied with what is of sight and sense and feel. We're very much creatures of our circumstances. But I think the consideration of this time when everything is going to be taken away, but there's one thing that will stand, there's one person that will stand, and all who have had to do with him as a saviour, they'll go right through into eternity. New heavens, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That must refer to the eternal state. The quotation for the millennium, that is this present earth, it's reigning. Righteousness reigning. But at this reference to wherein dwells righteousness, that says evil has been confined to its own place. The very source of evil. How did evil come into the world? How did sin come in? It was one who, Ezekiel tells us, was the anointed cherub. A great, mighty being. Anybody here doubts that Satan has got power? There's tremendous spiritual wickedness emanating from Satan. And you know, this earth is going to be covered by it. And that's what's going to happen at the end of the day. It's happening very rapidly. You say, oh yes, there's churches for Satanism over in America. There's churches in this country. Not very far away. And throughout this country. And it's growing and growing. Evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse. But it's all coming under judgment in view of the righteousness of God being established. Righteousness is going to dwell. And he says, well now, all these things are going to be dissolved. What sort of people should you be? What is your manner of life? Let us face up to the Word of God. Are we amongst those who their whole manner of life, all their associations, can bear the scrutiny of God? This is to encourage us to go in for what is eternal and abiding. You see, Lord's Day morning, we touch it for a few moments. But then it'll go on and on, but it's the same in character. Think of the privilege of even now, at the present time, knowing what it is to serve God. First in the service of praise, then by way of encouraging one another, and then going out to men. I do not understand how anybody can go out to men if they have not first served God. You come out from the presence of God, surely. There's one who says, I have a message from God for you. And that is how we should go in anything that we do in the way of service, that we come out from God with his message. And then, of course, it raises the question, the thought of Jehovah, Jehovah's messenger in his message. That means, and I find it very challenging, that I'm in keeping with the message that God gives me. Well, may we be encouraged, beloved brethren, in view of the day of God and love divine at rest, that we might know what it is to arrange our whole lives with a view to entering in even now into what is eternal. For his name's sake. Amen.